KAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
God places the tree where the tree will fit best for what it is designed to be. Well, preacher, what you're trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, wherever God planted you at, grow there. You might want to be somewhere else, but if God planted you in the place you're in, then he knew you would grow best where he planted you at. You might say, well, I don't like the atmosphere. I don't like what's going on. I don't like this. I don't like that. But what God knew was what you needed as a tree. So the first nugget is somebody ought to say, I'm planted where I belong. Come on, touch another neighbor and tell them, you might not like me, but I'm planted where I belong. Oh, help me, somebody. Somebody rolling their eyes, looking at you funny, don't like what you're doing, how God uses you, don't like your praise, don't like the way you give him glory. Tell him, you don't have to like me. I'm planted here for a purpose. Help me, somebody. And when you know that you're planted where you are, it's because God knew that's the best place for you to be. Now look at this. The Bible says, planted by the rivers of water. And place is important according to what God knows you need. So the second nugget is place. God planted you, but he planted you in the right place. Now what's important about that? You're also going to know, and I just want to throw this out parenthetically, that in the second and third chapters, you're going to find five of these seven nuggets that I'm dealing with in Psalm 1, verse 3, in these two chapters. Now, from the Garden of Eden ran a river that broke into four heads. Four heads. Now, when he says here in Psalm 1, verse 3, by the rivers of water, when man was kicked out of the garden because God knew what he would do before he even created him, instead of kicking man out of the garden and immediately killing him, he gave him certain assignments. Matter of fact, if he was going to eat bread, he was going to do it by the sweat of his brow. When woman would have a child, she would do it in pain and travail. The serpent would no longer walk upright. He'd crawl on his belly and eat dust the rest of his life. But God allowed the river to flow out of Eden, and he broke it into four major river sources to take care of the entire land so that man would still be able to be watered and nurtured and taken care of and grow things. But here's where you need to see this. The place where God places his righteous people is always in a place where there are multiple streams of resources. Listen, the rivers of water means that God has positioned the tree so that no matter what's going on in the atmosphere, no matter if there's a famine or a drought in the land, the root system that goes underground taps into the rivers all around. And if the tree is there, if you will, and the rivers are all around, if one river dries up, you've got other rivers. And no way will all of the rivers ever dry up at one time. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when you are a righteous person planted where God wants you, you will always have resources. Don't let the devil fool you. Yeah, times get tough. Yeah, times get rough. Yeah, things get dark. Yeah, things get difficult. But it does not mean you'll ever be without resources. Everything else may be drying up and dying out and falling off, but your roots tap into your underground system. And when you're in the right place, your roots will keep you watered. And folk wonder how you make it when everybody else is faking it. How you coming through when everybody else is going under. They don't understand it, but it's because your root system has been placed by the rivers of water. Nugget number three is that it shall bring forth its fruit. It means it's productive. It's productive. God wants his people to be productive. In the beginning, God gave man a charge. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, have dominion over the earth and increase were the commands of God. In other words, here's what God says. What I give you to start with should not be what you finish with. In other words, I'm going to give you enough to get started, but it's up to you to multiply. That's why when Jesus talked about the talents, the one, the two, and the five, and he talked about the two doubled his and the one with five doubled his, but the one hid his, buried his, and the Lord took it from the one and gave to the one who doubled his at the five level. Because what God is saying to you, if you don't have sense enough to use what you got to make more, then you don't deserve what you got. Is anybody listening to me here? See, too many of us are waiting on God to do what God is waiting on us to do. You want more? Do more. God's given you the resources. He's given you the ability. So when he gives you something, he doesn't want you to give it back like you gave it to him. It makes no sense for him to give it to you then. What has he prospered? See, that's what believers have got to understand. When God gives you something, he wants you to make it better. Make it better. So principle three. Here, nugget three, is that the tree is always fruitful. Fruitful. But now here's something else I need you to know. It's fruitful in its season, in its period, in its timing. Why is that so important? Because everything, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, has a time and a season. And timing is always important to opportunity. In other words, your window of opportunity always has a limit on it. And the people of God who learn how to operate within that window of opportunity are the ones who get blessed. Have you ever wondered how you get 30, 60, and 100-fold? Let me help you out. Now, it's not always because, let's say, three people had one seed. Let's just use a peach seed, nice big peach seed. Three people. The one person takes his peach seed and plants it at the first opportunity of that planting season for peach trees. First day, he gets his seed in the ground and he waters it. Then the second person waits about a month or so, and then he plants his. The third person waits, let's just say, 2 months, and then he plants his. Well, now, when harvest time comes, the person who had his seed in the ground the longest gives the seed more time to grow and to develop and for the fruit to become fuller and richer, and gives it the opportunity to produce more fuller fruit on each branch because it's had longer time to work with. The one that had the next longest time didn't have as much time as the first one did, so the fruit can't develop as fast and as much and as thick as the first one did. The third one, who waits a little longer, has even less time in the season, because there is a time that the season has to quit operating according to God's timing of sowing and reaping. And so the seasons stop working on the seed when its time comes to an end. And so if it doesn't have as much time to do all that it would have done, then that seed does not produce all that it could have produced. And so I'm trying to help somebody to understand, timing is so important. When God speaks to your heart and says, I want you to do this, when you respond immediately, you start working on 100-fold. When you wait and debate and you decide, is this God? God, if it's you, let three camels walk in this building right now in Jesus' name. God, if it's you, tell somebody to come here with a note and say, God said, do this right now. See, when you start putting all these demands, listen, the Bible say his sheep know his voice, and another they will not follow. So when you know the voice of God, you will heed the voice of God or disobey it and miss out on your window of opportunity. You've got a period in which to sow your seed. Now listen at this. It says, and its leaf also shall not wither. And this is preservation. Now what's important about this? Because listen to this. It's not the season now of harvest. Either harvest has come, and those who do any farming knows that after the season of the fruit, the tree rests. Now, what's important to see is the reason that godly people, when they have gone through a storm, when they have gone through a season of productivity, there is a period of rest. Listen at this. But rest doesn't mean that it's dead. Rest doesn't mean that it's not alive, because this tree is very much alive. But what you've also got to see is during this period, this tree is repairing and preparing for the next season. And the leaves are evidence that something is going on underneath the ground. In other words, the leaves green suggest that through the root system that this tree is still alive and it's still getting nourishment. It's still getting sap. It is being repaired. Don't you know every time you lay your body down at the right time at night, your body starts repairing itself? See, one of the reasons why the devil don't want you to sleep and get good rest is because when you shut your body down, it's the time that your body goes into repair mode. And when your body goes into repair mode while you are resting, it's getting you ready for a brand new day. Now, here's what the Bible makes clear, that rest is a part of the benefit for man. And one of the reasons why the devil don't want you to rest is because from 10 to 2 a.m., scientists have discovered that the greatest repair in the body happens between 10 and 2. And guess what time the enemy makes you want to go out and party? You don't even get out to 10 or 11 o'clock. And look at this, they start shutting stuff down at 1 and 2 o'clock. When the greatest time of your body recuperating and resting itself has passed. And you wonder why you wake up with a hangover and a slow and a soggy, saggy, can't get yourself together. I need some coffee, I need some this, I gotta pick me up, I got. Because you didn't let your body rest. I'm trying to help somebody in the house. And can I preach the last 2 points on? And the Bible says, and whatsoever it doeth, he doeth. Now, here's what's important to hear about this. Now, this is, whatever he doeth is pursuant to purpose. Don't miss this. It doesn't mean whatever he does that he want to do. It says, and whatsoever he doeth in the context, one, of being righteous, of being word-filled, and as it relate to the process of being productive. And rest is a part of being productive. So now it moves on to say, and whatever he doeth, in other words, it's pursuant to his purpose. You see, God can't bless mess, but God will bless you through a test. Is anybody in the house? And so what you've got to understand is when you are pursuing your purpose, everything connected with your purpose that you do, God is going to bless. In other words, when you are operating in your calling, all you got to do is operate. Romans 8:28 make it clear, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything that you do that's within your calling, God's gonna make it successful. That's why if he gives you the vision, he gives you the provisions. Why? Because he wants you to know he needs you to participate doing your part. Do what you can, and God will do what he has promised he will do. So remember this. You don't have to worry about how this is going to happen, how that's going to happen. When God makes clear that you're doing what you're supposed to do, how God opens the door is his business. How God makes a way is his business. The people he brings on your path to help you fulfill your purpose is God's doing. All you got to do is do what he told you to do, and you might start off by yourself, but before it's over, he's going to give you every single piece of help and support you'll need to get your purpose completed. And that last nugget, that seventh nugget is prosper. And he shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Shall prosper. Listen, this is an absolute shall prosper. But he has a part to play. Whatsoever he doeth. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Listen, and then thou shalt have good success. What are you saying, God? That he's given me the privilege of making my own way successful. Here's what he's given me the power to do. According to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, he tells me he's given me power to get wealth. Psalm 112. Verses 1 through 3 says, you know, paraphrase, if I love his commandment, not if I love the Lord. So we can love the Lord and still don't love his word. But if I love the word, verse 3 tells me, my house will be filled with wealth and riches. You see, everybody want to act like it's a spiritual thing only, but you need to know it's a holistic thing. God is concerned about every part of you, not just the spiritual part of you. When you look in the Old Testament, the people who were greatly blessed were the people of God. They had real gold, real silver, real cattle, real lambs, real God. They had real stuff. They had real things, and they gave God the glory for it. And yet, we are here as his people suffering, making it paycheck, not even to paycheck, making it from paycheck to payday. Loan. If it ain't from a payday loan coming, it's from somebody. Hey, Brooke, can you loan me $20? I'm gonna hit you up in a, you know. No. God wants you to have surplus. There should not be anybody on planet Earth that you are jealous and envious of because of the stuff they got, when God has given you the ability to be as successful as you want to be. Don't be hating on nobody because they got it. Don't be hating on, listen, there are biblical principles that worldly people are practicing and God is blessing. His principles, listen, are operative regardless of who practices them. And that's why some of the world's people have learned some of God's practices, and they are practicing and being blessed about them. They're doing what the word says do, even though they have no love or respect for God, because God has to honor his word. The Bible says he add riches to us and add no sorrow. We ain't got to be like the world doing the wrong things to get stuff. God will bless you and take the stuff from the world and give it to you. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You need to tap into your stuff. And you can be as successful as you want to be as a righteous believer who follows the principles of God's word. And when you do that, God will make your way through the practicing of his word prosperous. One of the challenges God gave me to give to the people of God, and I've been praying for the people of God, especially since the flood, etc. And I need to say this because it's so important. In my prayer time, meditating, asking God to bless his people and to show us the better way and how to come up and to come out of many of these calamities that we're dealing with, and that's happened to us, and we have no other recourse where we're dealing with depending on the world and the world system when that ought not be. The Spirit of the living God said to me, you have been teaching the word of God. You have been showing them through scripture the principles of God. And I'm a principle teacher. I don't just preach at you. I teach you how to get it done by the principles of God's word. Because here's what I know, that he will bless anyone who obeys his word. And when you learn his word and obey his word, he's under obligation to bless you by his word. And so that's why I tell you how to do it like his word says do it, and put him, according to his own word, under obligation to bless you. And so God says that the problem has been that I have taught them how to sow, but I've not taught them how to reap. Now, I'm only talking to the people of God. Everybody's not going to hear this because there you go talking about money. They ain't trying to, you know. Listen, so many of you have sown good seed in good ground, but you have not learned how to reap. You've learned not how to call forth your harvest, how to get it back, how to begin experiencing, listen, that seed growing and coming back 100-fold. And so God wants me to encourage you and to share with you, but more than anything else, to challenge you to learn how to have a spirit of expectation with a desired end of the harvest being manifested in your life. Here's my point. It don't make sense to send the ship out and don't look for it to come back in. Now, here are some foolish folk who's looking for their ship to come in and ain't never sent a ship out. Equally as foolish is a person looking for a harvest and never sowed no seed. Are you hearing me today? You've got to understand that in order for you to get the harvest, you've got to sow the seed, But in time,